The message is important, but I think if you look at this holistically, I think it's an easier sell just because somebody says, look, here are all the pieces we need to make this puzzle work. And here's why we have to do the puzzle. And this is what we're trying to achieve. And if you do it well,
right.
That's a big question.
And the question is, if they aren't too far apart, I mean, if you do one in a special election in April, and the next one will be on the November ballot or something like that, you can say, look, vote for this now because on the November ballot, you're going to have this to do.
And then in November, it's like, remember, back in April,
And then the message in November is, this is the reason you voted for that annexation, is so that we can do this transfer of EMS to fire with these two ballot measures, whatever it takes.
Yes.
And the reason that they couldn't stay potentially the same is because we dissolved the EMS levy, which then only the fire levy can be. Because my question, if I was a town person, is why can't I still get my general fund paying for the fire, and then my EMS levy comes out of whatever.
Well, they're paying the EMS levy either way.
Yeah. They are. That's my point.
Paying the EMS levy.
That's my point.
I think it becomes a no-brainer, so to speak, for the EMS levy change once the annexation is done. Because if you do the annexation, then they're already paying for EMS.
Right.
We just change who collects it.
Yeah, yeah.
No skin off their nose, but it's the fire district rather than the hospital district. So
right.
Who cares?
But what's the carrot to do the annexation?
Right. The fact that we're looking forward to this.
Yeah.
So, you know, and like I said, we could write a slightly more complex ballot measure to go on the same ballot as the annexation and do the levy change. But I got that's where I kind of stopped.
So
John
Doe lives in town, and today he has no levy paying for EMS.
Correct.
For fire.
No,
fire.
He's paying EMS.
Oh, he is paying. That's right.
Yeah,
right.
He's paying EMS.
He's actually paying for fire. He's just not seeing
it. He doesn't see it, so it's a fire. He doesn't see that.
Mostly sales tax.
So they annex, and now he is he sees the additional charge on his tax bill.
Yes.
Right, for the fire.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And then EMS doesn't, you know, then they don't elect to merge the next
year. So would that have to happen?
Well, if they don't do the levy change, that doesn't really make much difference in terms of what's coming out of their pocket, because they're still paying the levy.
Right.
That's right.
They're not going to just pay it to the hospital district.
But the way the fire levy now, the money in the town comes out of the general fund, so they don't see it.
Right.
Right.
Now they're going to see it on their tax bill.
Yes.
It's going to have a psychological impact.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the sell that's going to be the hardest to do. Right. And that's true whether you do it once or separately. I mean, you can't get away from that.
Yeah, I mean,
so I'm wondering if we shouldn't focus on that message.
Isn't there a third piece, though, that has to happen between the two levies, and that's redistricting? Because fire.
Actually, what happens is you expire the EMS levy, which means those folks who are out there in, you know, remoter islands that have been paying an EMS levy won't have to pay it anymore, because it's expired. And then only the fire district folks are going to be paying an EMS levy, because they're going to pay that bump
into their fire
district.
Then,
if we do it that way.
Right, so then there'll be less dollars coming in on the EMS levy.
It changes by about, what, $50,000, I think?
Yeah.
You remember the numbers?
I don't. I have.
I think it's about $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Is that all that the outer islands are paying into the
what is it, John's Island? I mean, really?
Well, no, I mean, they have Stewart, Henry, Spiden.
Henry and Spiden. Well, I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but so if the EMS district collapses, it.
That's not actually a complete list, but it's the main ones.
That has them listed there: Stewart, Spiden, Johns, Pearl, Henry.
The full list is actually on our homepage. I can
There's a couple of small ones. Fire
covers Brown Island and
Henry, right?
Not Henry, the Pearl.
Pearl. That's right. I'm sorry.
Pearl and Brown are
in the fire.
So we'd be dropping the rest anyway.
Okay.
For whatever that's worth. And the one thing that is legally true is you can't have two EMS levies paid by the same people.
Yeah.
So whatever property owner is paying an EMS levy is only going to pay it to either the hospital district or the fire district. You can't do both.
Right. Yeah.
So that's got to happen at once.
Do you want to hear the whole list?
Do we care?
Probably not at this point. The real thing is going to be the value of dollars.
It gets in the realm of 70,000, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty minor then, probably. Yeah.
So anyway, my assumption is there's going to be at least a couple of ballot measures there to do that part, and I haven't got to that yet. And those are really going to be first to increase fire levy to cover EMS, then another is whatever the mechanism is to give up by the hospital district the levy that they currently collect.
Letting go territory is pretty easy.
It shouldn't be hard.
Well, except that if we're looking at it as a county and trying to provide quality to the county, I mean, there's probably a message in that that's going to have to be looked at.
I should revise.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Mark.
It's easy legally, but that's a separate issue from whether it's
right,
easy
from,
in terms
from,
of
yeah,
ethics
what,
and
what
services.
Right
I mean, Mark, do you have a perception about how the county might look holistically at services, and if somebody were to talk about dropping services?
No, because it's all different.
Yeah.
I mean, right now, I don't think anybody provides EMS to Decatur or Blakely.
I was going
to
wonder about that, or Crane or Center.
Yeah.
Well, what's true is nobody on Decatur or Crane, wherever, is paying for it, but
right.
I bet if somebody called EMS here said, you want to go to Decatur, they would go.
They're
going to go.
And they haven't done that in the past.
Right.
So,
the other thing that happens is that this fire district has a... I think it's an agreement, I don't know for sure what it is, with DNR
mm-hmm.
to provide wildland initial response.
Mm-hmm.
And most people on the Outer Islands know that if their structure's on fire, they call and say they have a wildland fire because there'll be a response from here. And then once you're out there and you say, oh, it is kind of creeping into the trees, you then put the structure out to prevent everything else from catching on fire. So there is a fire response. It's a wildland fire response to those Outer Islands off of from this district, is my understanding.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that I can speak for what EMS would do under a new deal where they don't include those islands in their district, but they get a call.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. If there's no legal obligation to do anything if it's not in the district that pays the taxes.
Well, I know fire and EMS have responded on the fireboat to other islands that are not part of either district.
Yeah, I mean, it just
you
does
know,
it
just,
in
yeah.
the past. I mean, it's...
They responded to boats out on the water.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's also true.
But at best, if the EMS levy goes away, so does the obligation, and then it really becomes not so much a legal issue as it does become a political issue as to what that is.
Right.
So, and that's a good response to that.
I think the discussion will have to be at
the,
fire and hospital commission meetings. It's
not
something that we really have to resolve. It's a question that they have to address and decide that it's okay.
And need to be prepared.
That we'll just go. How many times does it happen?
Right.
You know,
but it's,
So are we going to get a list of this type of question in your recommendation?
Because the idea is the other four don't
have any idea about this. And those are the kind of questions.
Yeah, these are questions that have to be resolved by the commissions and council.
And giving a path and setting this framework
is part
really
of the process we want to
And that's
describe.
Why the discussion at the meeting today was it's going to take the first quarter to go through the first quarter to all of this kind of stuff is resolved. And outlined as to what you're going to do.
But it's far easier, I think, for us as a working group to have this kind of a conversation, come up with these questions and recommendations and things, and just hand it back to the commission than to have the commissioners try to get together on this and learn about
all
it.
All for that.
I mean, so I'm pretty sure that it is
you guys
within our charge, so to speak,
yeah.
to come up with all of this stuff that we can. And there may be stuff we don't think of that the commissioners will think of when they're having the discussion that, derives as much as anything, probably, as you suggested, political, issues than anything else. And we can only say that's their call.
Mm-hmm. And ideally, it wouldn't become political, but it'll eventually become political. But really, the discussion should be what is best for John Q. Public and providing the service.
Yes.
Right.
And
its
level of service and who's paying for
and
what.
And the only reason it really, I mean, in a way is political, is that if John Q. Public happens to live on Stewart, he's going to have a different answer to what's best, maybe.
Maybe.
maybe. Yeah. Although, you know, he stops paying for stuff that he hasn't gotten anyway, so maybe it's a good thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
So the next question that I was going to try to address, and then we'll get together on this, I guess, is the levy mechanism to change from where we are to the fire district.
So, great.
That was a nice step for the committee. Too.
Excellent.
And then Rick.
So in fact, I tried to stop into your place, but you weren't there today when I picked up Dr. Frank. Because I wanted to tell you that I got the three budgets so far. I've gotten fire, EMS, and then ORCAS. And I've also put just a very quick synopsis together.
Is this a pro forma merge budget?
No, it's not. It's not. That's a next step, but I have
just
more.
Just wondering what we're seeing.
Yeah. So right now, what you're going to see is strictly just kind of the raw stuff and where I've come to, but I think it gives us a good appreciation of where we need to go. So basically, let me just give you a rundown to see what we look at. So this is the EMS operating budget. It gives, and this is their 2017 actuals amended, and then the 2019 budget. This is actually the budget that was ratified today. It has two additional, I used this budget because I figured this one was going to go. It has two additional full-time personnel now for 24-hour coverage of EMTs, staffing. So
Rick, how many they have? Four paramedics and how many EMTs?
Four.
Four
EMTs at 2019 approval budget. Yeah, so they have two, Carl and Caitlin, right now that are day, and then they're going to hire two more. So they'll have four EMTs to staff the ambulance 24/7 out of the building. So this is their budget. I will run through the numbers right now. I can expand it and kind of go. It also has their outreach and injury prevention budget detail. And then they broke out facilities and so forth. So this is theirs. Then here is what came out of fire. So here's their revenue. Here's their expenses down here. Administrative. And then I took their operations. This is their 2019 approved. So this is what Brad Creasy sent me for the 2019 approved. 2019 approved. I'm also trying to put the operational budgets in for the last 5 years of EMS. Fire gave me theirs. I'm going to see if I can get ORCAS's so we can actually make certain that what they say is happening is happening. Their training budgets and so forth. Maintenance. The reason I'm kind of showing you this is because you can see, of course, that fire and EMS do not have the same outlines and so forth, or the same numbers. And then here is ORCAS's. And they use kind of the VARS codes and do everything. So they actually have the most detail in demonstration and so forth of what they have. So here's kind of their budget layout. They even go through by line item, overtime, extra hours, and so forth. I mean, they really break their budget down into immense detail.
I'm assuming the other ones have the same thing. The other ones will have the same thing in Eden. You can get Eden
reports. Oh, no, it will. It just doesn't have it. They just presented it in this manner.
They budget here in more consolidated form, it looks like.
and summarize it without giving you every bar's
code. Every bar's code.
And so if you had lines for every bar's code, which you can get, you might use that to compare with the organism.
But here's what I think drives us. So right now, and I don't think fires is right. I was hoping Brad was going to be here. I think this is their cache. So here's the cache lines. Yeah. In EMS and in Orcas, they also they put in their long-term instruments as well, as far as their investments. Whereas I don't think FHIR has their investments in. I think this is just a cash line item in their budget. I haven't gotten a chance to validate that. But here's the interesting thing. EMS, $2.1 million is what they bring in all their revenue earnings. Now, what I did is I backed out the hospital board's personnel. So like Nathan and Pam, I backed out of here because there's a pass-through. They get so much revenue and then they have so much expense and it's kind of a pass-through. So they're not in here. So if somebody asked a question about the EMS or the hospital district personnel, it's not in here.
Yeah, we're on their budget, but we pay them back for it. So.
Right. Here's the FHIR's revenue. And here's Orcas's. So there's a variance of $1.4, almost $1.5 million of what is income on the revenue side. Here's their EMS's administration. And it's basically, right now, I've just taken the broad summaries. So I haven't consolidated anything or looked at detail, okay? Administrative, 466, 311, 437. The variance is 340, and again, I'm looking at these two combined, less Orcas, so there's 340. Now, this is a little bit misleading, and I didn't back it out, and I should. There is actually, in the budget, interestingly enough, there's been no submitting of a tenure of the chief's position, but yet they have built into the budget his severance program. So I'm just thinking about this.
So you're talking about the EMS budget?
Yeah, the EMS budget. They have a severance program in it this year as a vote, which is, it doesn't make sense to me, but anyways. So 340, so it's probably a little bit less here. And I just thought about that as I was looking at the number. The operating budget, 1.4 is what EMS spends. 1.4 is what FHIR is spending. 1.8 is what Orcas is spending. So
that's where the difference goes. Yeah.
Yeah. What's
really going to be interesting to see is where is that difference mostly? I mean, what is it that makes Orcas so like $1 million less?
Right.
You know, I mean, what line items are they not spending? We're spending.
Well, you have to figure it's a lot of it's staffing. So you have, with the 2019 budget for EMS, you have the four paramedics, you have the four EMTs. At FHIR, you have
the chief,
the assistant chief, and then you have four paid firefighter EMTs sitting there, all doing their, that's all operating.
Yeah.
Whereas Orcas doesn't have that. They have their four paramedics, their four EMTs, and that is their operating. That's the big difference.
Right. So when you look at that and then the EMS outreach program and the FHIR and so forth. So if you just though look at the rate, you're at 1.6. Mm-hmm. So there is potential for the project in consolidation in theory. Now, accepting that is another thing, but in theory, if you looked at synergies of size, there is potential for return from a financial perspective. Now, maybe Orcas is going off of the charts and they're going to belly out it in 5 years or 3 years or so forth. But the interesting thing is their cash right now in the budget, they're the richest in cash right now. They have $1.2 million. In operating cash combined, the two don't make what even Orcas has in operating cash. That's why I think FHIR doesn't have any kind of investment programs in it. I've got to check on that because I've heard them say more So I want, that's an area I want to check, but right now...
That's probably true cash, the 450 is probably
right,
true
it's
cash.
Probably true cash and not any kind of instruments that, right. You know, investment instruments that they have. But Orchid still has cash. They're getting revenue. And the interesting thing is that their fee-for-service side is about 1.3, 1.4, or 130 to 140,000, where our fee-for-service side is about 450,000. So they're leaving money on the table on the fee-for-service side as well. So they have opportunities for even more earnings. I've talked to them. They just started to bill, what, a year and a half ago.
Right.
They weren't even billing. They weren't even using a fee-for-service side. And so... So really, they could have more revenue coming in than what they have coming in now as a comparative, which would even make it more of a delta opportunity that suggests
if
that.
If you go back to the Orchid's budget, you can see all of that, it seems to me, because they got so much detail.
Yeah, that's why I saw it. I saw
you
it.
You could just, you know, you got it on that other tab.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
What is really...
I just have not been able to sit down and really analyze. But what I wanted to demonstrate tonight is that there's the same call volume. They roughly have the same call volume in fire and EMS as what the consolidated would hear. And they're doing it for 1.6 less than what we're doing it for here.
Total of 4.0. So once again, you've got an org, they have a full-time paramedic, an EMT,
24/7.
24/7 in-house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, we're going to have two EMTs, not paramedic, in-house.
We're going to have, well, we're going to have four
we'll
EMTs.
We'll have a paramedic on call with a rig.
Correct. I mean, right. They just don't house them in the building.
So right. Over
they're
there,
not, they're not in the building.
They're not in the building. But there's going to be the same amount of personnel.
Right.
So it's almost similar. From a standpoint of structure. And so what it really means is that the duplication between the two organizations by consolidation.
That's your savings.
Could shave you a million, maybe, or 800,000. Yeah, which then, based on what the levy value would be, could be that offsetting for annexation of the city or the town. And it could also be even a return. I mean, you know, you'd probably be down at 25 cents.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see when you actually get into the details. Numbers,
right.
How much you think the levy could change,
right.
If the savings were to be realized to the tune of $750,000.
Exactly right. Yeah. Yes. And so there. So if you guys can think of extra questions, we can now. You and I can start to get together if we want to do some analytics against it. I can send you this. I want to try to get a little bit more data, and I want to call Jay and see if I can get Lopez just to see what they're doing, because ultimately this could be an interesting. You know, exercise and maybe even looking at the whole calendar.
Would be fun to get that consolidation we've got there if you send it around.
I'm sorry.
Look at this in detail.
Yeah, just as you polish it up, if we could take a look.
Oh, I'll send you the spreadsheet. Yeah, so that you.
Because otherwise, we're looking at all the different.
Yes.
The worksheets and you put them into one spreadsheet.
Yeah, that's great.
It's perfect.
Yeah. I will do that. But I thought this would be a good place to demonstrate that. I think, at least from nothing else than finance, there's potential synergy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you really want to get the even report for those budgets that don't have bar codes. So you have all the detail.
Yeah.
And then you're apples to apples and oranges.
Right.
Because that's what you got from them.
Yes, yeah. Because they all live in the same.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all the same. In the end, they all end up in the same format somehow.
You know, it's interesting with the EMS making, I mean, I know there's been no decision on whether they're going to merge or not, but hiring two full-time EMTs, and if there is a consolidation, now all of a sudden you have paid staff that, do you keep them all or do you lay staff off? Because personnel is one of the biggest challenges you would have with any kind of merger.
Yeah.
And by hiring two more staff, now you are...
Just increasing that.
Increasing that likelihood.
Yeah,
you are. But I mean, I think from our perspective, it is what is the best.
I understand. No, I agree with that.
They
it will be an
that.
Issue mm-hmm. in merging organizations when you have more funds.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, the the reasonable side says that you're going to have four EMTs and you're going to have four paramedics. You're not going to have eight EMTs and four paramedics.
Yeah, that's correct.
I think the board decided to try it for 1 year. I don't think that when they hire the two new EMTs that it's intended to be an indefinite thing. It's like a 1 year agreement.
So they're going to do these as contracts for a year for the hires, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
at least that gives you a chance to say, well, the contract's up.
Yeah.
Nice to do. But it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
But I mean,
but why not have, I mean, you have four paramedics on the island that are already full time.
Yeah.
Why not have one paramedic and one EMT full time, 24/7 on the station?
I think that's what they're doing now, isn't it?
Isn't that what
the plan is? Well, I think you're saying two EMTs.
No, there's four. They're hiring two more. There's two EMTs right now in deployment.
But they're going to have
two more. So the budget's been approved for four total EMTs.
But who will be on call in the station?
So in-house, though, they only committed to EMTs in the station.
That's my concern. And you have four paramedics paying full-time everywhere else, and 60% of the calls are in town, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, that's a cultural change that, quite frankly, you know, if I live out of my home and I can go home to sleep at night and so forth, it's, you know, that's a cultural challenge that I don't think we necessarily take on, because that's not really the impetus of what our goal would be.
Right.
We can demonstrate what goes on.
Right.
That's the choice that administration would have to make. That might be fire's administration, you know, at the time that they do the consolidation, they may say, you know, this is how we want to manage it,
right,
and have everybody in house ready to go, fire and or EMS.
But in the sense of getting everybody on board, you can't ignore what the EMS is going to be saying when this starts to become public about what the merger needs. If they're not on board with the whole idea of doing it, because it's going to mean half of their folks are going to get canned who are currently full time or something, it's just not going to, it's not going to play well. So you have to deal with that.
And that's the personnel issues that they've talked about.
That's going to be a part of this.
Oh yeah.
Well, and part of it's going to be that overarching communications message.
Yeah,
but any M&A,
yes,
I mean, you know, any M&A that goes on, unless it's some kind of global expansion M&A, there's always, you know, there's always a cut.
Hey, Rick, can I ask a stupid question? What is M&A?
Mergers and acquisitions.
Mergers and acquisitions. Thank you. I've been wondering that all night.
So we're looking at roughly $2 million for both San Juan and Orcas for the ALS, or for the EMT system. In Bellingham, they have four ALS systems, so they got four units. They're looking at adding Station 5, adding a fifth ALS unit. But each ALS unit has two paramedics 24/7, and their cost per year is 1.5 to 1.8 million over there. So it's on average, and that's the administrative.
And again, that's synergies of scale.
Because yes,
exactly. They have four systems. They really have eight paramedics on duty
right
at a time. Whether they only have two that staff a building or whatever, you know, 24 on, 24 off, or whatever that
right
might be. And that seems a little light unless they're going to schedule out. But again, it's what we can't do because
exactly
of water.
Right.
So, you know, if Orcas and San Juan maybe lived side by side where there was a road, then that would be one thing.
As soon as they build that bridge.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we recommend a bridge and we can cut the U.S.'s cost.
And Canada's going to pay for that bridge.
Yeah, only Canada.
But yeah, you're absolutely right.
Because again, Skagit's about the same. They're for five ALS systems, or $4.5 million. For five systems.
But that's interesting. You know what it demonstrates is that we're not far off, because if you think about 1.5 and it's a whole system short of two additional personnel, the two additional personnel probably are 250,
yeah,
350,
mm-hmm,
you know, so they're coming in at 1.8. We're higher,
mm-hmm,
but the reality of it is that we're probably not, you know,
mm-hmm,
horrendously different. It's when you really look at what Orcas does in a consolidated fashion.
Right.
Compared to what a separated fashion is, that's where you see the higher
right.